You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580, welcome aboard to another edition of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan. Joining us today, Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Thank you. You remembered my name, Ron. Well, it's great to be here on August 1st.
Yeah.
8-1. Is your mic on? Try that again, Heidi.
July is over.
It's so over. But as we agreed beforehand, before the show, it is the height of summer still.
We can agree
on that.
It's been awesome. The weather, getting outside, boating, swimming.
Fishing.
Fishing. Do we know anything about that, Deanne?
I might have caught a 22-pound king salmon the other day, but you know.
That's
not a 22-inch.
No, 22-pound.
Wow.
Jigging. Too, not trolling, jigging.
How can a fish be 22 pounds and you actually pull that in?
I did all by myself, and we take it up to get it cleaned, and everybody thinks Larry, my husband, caught it. They're
Larry.
Like, good job. I'm like, wait a minute.
Did you have one? Did you have to
those sexist fishermen.
Did you wear one of those leather belts? Do they strap you in where you put the...
No, you don't need that. You don't need that with a 22-pound.
Oh,
but
okay.
That's more like, you know, big fish.
22
like
pounds.
Tuna.
That's nothing. That's
like tarpon or something.
Yes, tarpon, yes.
Swordfish.
Yeah.
If you go to Glen Lake, you could catch some of those big giant koi out there.
I know, isn't that crazy?
I saw those pictures.
That is fascinating.
Koi. Yeah.
They're huge goldfish. They're this big.
Somebody
really?
Let one loose.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It grew.
Get rid of those junk fish anyway.
Yeah.
But a coho. Now,
king salmon. Yes.
Now, is it still good eating?
Oh, absolutely. It's very good.
The battle-ridden Michigan's Glen Lake of the giant koi. There it is. Yeah. There's the pick.
That's the biggest goldfish I've ever seen.
Doesn't it look fake?
It does.
Yeah.
Looks like something you'd plant in your garden to grow something else.
Mm. Yuck.
So fascinating.
Sorry, I have preconceived notions about. So let's go back to the king salmon.
Oh.
So at 22 pounds, how long did it take you to land it?
Actually, not long. I mean, even Larry was surprised. So I just, you know, I stuck my rod and, you know, reeled that baby in. Luckily, my line held and the knots that I tied the lure on held up. So, yeah, it's pretty
good job,
amazing. Ian. Not going to say that happens every time, but it happened this time.
That's just got to be the adrenaline.
Oh my word. Dennis, I was jumping on the boat. I was screaming and a boat was going by and they were honking and I was like, ah, and I held the fish out like, and my arms are shaking.
Oh, I believe it. Oh,
it
man.
Is. It's a real high.
Monster of the seas.
Keeps you going. Keeps you wanting more.
22 pounds.
Did you keep it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
How is it? Does it taste as good as the other, you know, 15-pound piddling things?
Yes, it tastes just... I mean, as long as you... This happened to be a fresh one, too, because the longer they're in the lake, the browner they get, and the meat is not as good. But this was a fresh one that just came in from Lake Michigan, and yeah, it was delicious, you know?
So
but
you caught it in the river.
The are a little better tasting. We caught it in Betsy Bay in Frankfurt.
Mm. Okay. Not saying exactly where, but, you know, in that area.
In that area.
In your secret fishing spot.
Exactly. Come join me. It's so much fun.
Well, the jigs that you use, you know, where did those come from? I'm just curious.
My husband has his own lure business. It's called Jonah Jigs. And, yes, we caught them on Jonah Jigs.
All right.
JonahJigs.com.
JonahJigs.com. Crazy cool stuff. Jigging.
Yes.
Who would have thought?
So fun. So fun.
Yeah. Well, it's great to be here. We are Dennis, Heidi, and Deanne. We're here, your financial experts of the day, to calm the waters. To calm the waters of financial difficulties and talk about things that might be of interest of you, we hope. And if you have a question of a financial nature, Ron, how would people contact us?
Well, they could open their window.
And hey, you!
Yeah. Hey. You can phone us or text us. It's the same number both ways. So 947-0023. Text us a message or call 231-947-0023.
Thank you, Ron. So, of course, joining us today is Heidi Cartwright, our own RICP and Managing Director of Prout Financial Design. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Dennis. I'm so happy to be here today.
Well, great to have you. And then Deanne Jennings, too, our own Director of Operations. I didn't even write those down. Look at that. I have the intros.
Just came out.
I'm glad you still remember who we are.
Yeah, exactly. Who are you again?
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in with us this morning.
Well, we love it. We absolutely love it. Now, we're talking about tax-exempt gifting today, as well as when to roll over, possibly, and not to roll over. What does that mean? It's not your dog's favorite trick. It's the trick that you can play with your retirement funds. Should you roll it to an IRA? When and when not to, perhaps? Now, we're not going to be all-inclusive on these conversations, so what does that mean? Have a direct conversation with your tax and or financial professional about these things, because we're going to get into the weeds here possibly quite quickly.
Rollover, just again, a layman's explanation so we can follow along here.
That the Beatles wrote about rollover Beethoven. Yeah, it's rolling funds from a qualified plan, like a 401k, profit sharing. Well, I'm 55 and they let me go, you know, and should I keep it in the plan or should I move it to an IRA because they're giving me all these tantalizing gifts, if you will, of different funds that I might use that I don't have in my 401k. As an example, should I take advantage of that or should I wait? Should I go or should I stay?
Exactly.
So you can roll.
That
is everything
question.
A song, Colleen?
Colleen's
really...
back there singing it. Yeah.
It's a clash.
A clash.
Yeah, a clash. Thank you. And what year was that, Colleen?
79.
That's great. So we have so much to talk about. There are three tiers of tax exempt giving. TIERS. Of tax-exempt gifting. First of all is the $18,000 annual exclusion. What does that mean? You don't have to report it. That's all that means. The limitations of 18 grand are in your mind only. Well, what does that mean? That simply means that you don't have to report it. If you go above 18,000, keep in mind the amount that you can gift as a single individual without having to pay any gift tax is $13.6 million. If you're married, it's exactly double that at $27.2 million, just to bring everybody up to speed on that.
So what you're saying, Dennis, is if you're single and you have an estate that's over $13 million, if you get married, you can double your estate exemption.
Yeah. Let's say you're worth $20 million. It's another reason to possibly get married. I love that. I mean, think about that. It's a way to say, you know, I've always loved you, dear. Let's make it formal. Let's formalize that union, shall we? So that can be really a way to leverage the amount that you can give without having to declare gift tax and or to have your estate subject to those egregious estate taxes, which we'll just call 50% after the 13.6. It almost makes you feel bad for them, doesn't it, Ron?
Yes, it does.
Well, in for some people, 13.6 is a pittance, and so is 27, thinking of Warren Buffett. Thank you very much. I mean, he uses that up drinking his first cup of coffee in the morning. It's not much to him. Now, he spends it like it's a lot, saves it like it's a ransom. Mm. He's a capital saver among savers. What is he doing? He's gifting his estate. Why would he do that? He loves the idea of what that gift can do, but he also loves the idea of what he gets in terms of tax deductions. Now, he can't carry that forward. But he can use it to convert all of his IRA in 1 year. Why would he want to do that? Because he can convert that IRA to a Roth. So he could theoretically say, I want to gift some of my appreciated stock. As the Gottsmans did, G-O-T-T-E-S-M-A-N apostrophe S, to that med school out east. I printed the article, but the printer wasn't working. They gave over $1 billion to a med school out east, and that $1 billion gift will allow all those med students to attend tuition-free. Tuition-free.
Wow.
They announced that at a huge student union meeting, and they just the students erupted because their cost per year was about $60,000 for med school, and it just went to zero. That means something to them. Widow of billionaire David Gottsman gifted that amount a long time. He was a longtime friend of Warren Buffett. She said that they often would speak and talk. They'd get going sometimes and talking to 2 and 3 a.m. in the morning. They were great friends. Mm-hmm. Well, he was a partial owner, even though some would say a minority owner, shareholder, which he was, in Berkshire. But still, it was worth $1 billion from, 50, 60 years ago?
Oh, so the college, if it's the Albert Einstein College of Medicine.
Okay.
How about that, though? All those fourth-year students get tuition-free.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Tuition-free. And it's a great example of thinking perhaps bigger than you had, because the people who tend to watch this sort of thing for you, perhaps your accountant, looks at the 1099 that you bring him or her each year, and they say, well, okay, here's your dividend. We've got to pay tax on that. Or they say, you didn't give me your 1099. It's more of an irritation, perhaps, to them. John, I need that 1099 so that I can know exactly what the amount was so we can report that for tax purposes. Given the reality that you can't because you can't find it, you know, that's what they're looking about, thinking about. However, if you think about gifting that stock because you really can't use it, you appreciate the dividend, but you'd rather gift it away. Do you have to gift it to a charity? No. You could gift it to one of the grandkids and let them see the appreciation of it and pay the dividend at their tax rate. Why would you want to do that? It's amazing what they'll learn. Does it have to be a stock? It could be a mutual fund. But you don't pay any gift tax on that amount. And you could also gift it to the favorite charitable institution of your choice. And then get a deduction for the full amount and not pay any tax on the gain. Say what? So I paid $5,000 for Microsoft 5 years ago. Let's say it's worth $10 or $15 today, whatever that number would be. I could in turn gift that stock back to that charitable institution. They would in turn sell it, not pay any gain on it, use it for their purposes, and you get the deduction for the full value of the current amount if you're itemizing. If you're itemizing, You see where that could go? Then all of a sudden, you can use that $15,000 deduction and in turn convert maybe $100,000 of your IRA to a Roth. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So the one transaction where you gift that amount, you benefit yourself through the tax deduction, the entity through the fact that you gave them the money, and then yourself back again because you got to convert that IRA, that tax-infested IRA, to a Roth. You see how we weave these webs? It's amazing what you might do by having these conversations with someone like Proud Financial Design. Okay, we want to say that quietly. We don't want to be too self-promotional here.
Prout Financial Design.
Thank you, Ron. I couldn't say it myself. It just wouldn't come out.
By the way, just to clear that donation you thought you brought up of the Gottsman family, the widow, it's going to all fourth-year students, and they're being reimbursed for everything, plus getting the fourth year free. So and basically, their tuition for 4 years at the Albert Einstein Med School is free.
Wow. You know, I didn't understand that from the article that I'd read just recently in the journal. They talked about the story, the incredible story of his friendship, her husband's friendship with Buffett. And Buffett called that the most responsible use of $1 billion he had seen, something like that. It was a great quote. So it's amazing what you can do with these gifts to children, grandchildren, to charitable entities, the amounts that you can give, still taking the deduction perhaps and not taking it at other times, but yet leveraging that towards others.
Before we continue, we have a question here for the panel today. My wife has an annuity she received when her grandma passed away. Is it recommended to roll that into a Roth? Is there a fee or a penalty?
Wow, what a great question. So an annuity can be owned inside of an IRA and outside of an IRA. Now, I'm guessing this annuity is in a beneficiary IRA. Would you guess that, Heidi?
I would guess that.
Yeah. See, that's the problem with answering a question like this. So we can answer it both ways. Let's assume that it's a beneficiary IRA. You cannot roll a beneficiary IRA into a Roth, but she could use those funds as a way to pay the tax. So she's going to have to take those withdrawals over a 10-year period. Now, she's had forgiveness. See, already I've lost people, I can tell. She doesn't have to take a distribution, even though her grandmother, was it her grandmother here?
Yes,
her grandmother received those funds. She normally would have had to take an RMD, but if she received it relatively recently, they've forgiven both 22, 23, and now 24 RMDs from those accounts. But it's not recommended that she not take those amounts unless she's, you guys are, you two, I'll just say, are in a higher tax bracket and are just doing some tax planning. She might decide to use some of that money as she draws it to pay the tax on a Roth conversion from another IRA. So think about this in terms of maybe, if that is the case, a bigger picture.
Or she can make a Roth contribution if she's working in her own.
See, there you go. She could use those funds, draw them out. She's got to pay the tax by law. But she could use that to make a Roth contribution. Indeed, if she's got earned income. And the amount that she could contribute this year is how much, Heidi?
If she's under 50, $7,000. If she's over 50, $8,000. And she can make one even if she's not working but her husband's working.
Isn't that radical? So the amounts that you can give, and there is no age limit on making a Roth contribution. That amount can be, as long as your income meets the limitations and, you know, you meet some other requirements, but you can put money in a Roth IRA if you have earned income up to the amount of the earned income or the amount of the contribution limits, whichever is less.
But
less.
You cannot roll it all of it in one swell foop into a Roth IRA.
Not from a beneficiary IRA. Now, if that were her own IRA, every day of the week she could convert it. Yeah.
All right. One other question for the panel today. Good morning. My name is Ron. Not me.
What a great name.
That's a good
Ron.
Name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I currently have a Roth 401 through my employer. I'm 53, and I've been in their program for 7 years. I'm now 100% vested. They match 20% of my contribution. So I'm trying to play catch up. I currently put $125 weekly into some low risk to moderate funds. Should I be contributing more if possible, or change the funds to something more on the higher risk side to try to gain more quickly?
I just love this question because he's delving into how do I improve myself, my rate of return, and my accounts. Generally, and I can only say this again because we're on the radio, take more risk with your monthly contributions. Now, these aren't monthly. He's putting in weekly. I understand that. Because you're taking advantage of more volatility as long as you invest through the cycle. So that's the key. If you can continue to invest through the downs, which we will have those, believe me, they will happen. As long as you continue to invest through those downs, look at who is managing the money. Take advantage of the ups and downs. I'm saying look at the allocations, but sometimes you can be too conservative when you're putting in money, money in monthly. And that is the phenomenal way to invest. That was mentioned in Warren Buffett's favorite book of so many eons ago, written called Investment. Who wrote that? Can't think of it. Anyway, it was a great book that he references every year that he reads through. And it mentions, to some extent, dollar cost averaging. So, yes, generally take more risk. And number two, increase the amounts that you can put it, that you put in. And if you can, try to put it into the Roth, because while you can't deduct it today, it'll come out tax-free tomorrow. And because you're 53, if you're let go from the company when you're 55 or later, you can draw those funds without any 10%
penalty.
All right.
The Intelligent Investor?
Yes, sir. That's the one. Written by Benjamin Graham. The Intelligent Investor. I have that book on the bookshelf at home, and I read most of it. Mm. But I was just was stunned to see how extensive the detail was on dollar cost averaging that he discussed so many decades ago. You bet. The Intelligent Investor by Ben Graham.
Warren said he read that early in 1950 when he was 19 years old.
Yeah.
Still holds true today.
It's good it's lessons. Timeless, yes.
That's
much
a pretty
of it
good
is
testimonial
timeless.
If he read it.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Well, he was his prof in college. Yes.
Ah.
Yep. Heidi,
yes.
Let's talk about rollovers and
all
not
right.
Beethoven.
Yeah, let's talk about rollovers. So whether a distribution from a company plan can be rolled over and whether it should be rolled over are actually two different questions. So just because a distribution is eligible for rollover from a company plan, you want to know, well, should I do that? What's going to be best in my circumstance, in my situation?
And let me say this before we get too deep. Have an in-depth conversation with your financial advisor about both sides of this equation, especially if you're a bit younger. As this gentleman who texted in here said, he was 53. So if you're a bit younger, what's that mean? Generally, 50, 60, maybe even early 60s. Think about it. All right, go ahead, Heidi.
Okay, so let's jump into the reasons to roll over company plan money to an IRA. So these are reasons for. They can be some powerful reasons to do this IRA rollover. And one of those is that the IRA rollover could allow more flexibility to make changes more quickly than the administrative hurdles or delays that you may have with a plan. If any of you have called your plan administrator and you're trying to get a question answered or you're trying to make a distribution, we do this with our clients all the time, and it can take quite a bit of time investment. You have to go through many levels just to get a person on the phone. And it may be more flexible to you to roll money to an IRA because you can call your financial advisor or your bank or your institution, where whoever the custodian is of those funds, and make an initial withdrawal from the account much easier than going through that bureaucracy of a big administrative plan. So another reason that you may want to roll over to an IRA is the control that clients have over the IRA. You have more choices with an IRA. The plan has a given set of rules that you have to file. Maybe how often that you can take money out of the plan, or how you take it out. Can you take it out of a specific fund or not? But with an IRA, you have the control and you have the ability to make some of those more specific decisions.
And that's a surprise to many folks. You mean I can specify which fund I want to have liquidated in my IRA to take the distribution? Oh, yes. I mean, that can be a nice part of the flexibility of taking a withdrawal from an IRA, which we experienced yesterday. Thank you.
And another thing, when you're in a plan, many times they'll offer you some way to get financial advice. Well, you just have to go with the advice that they have. But if you roll the money over to an IRA, you can pick who you work with. Who's a good fit to help you decide to make those decisions that you need to make with your retirement accounts? Mm-hmm. With an IRA, you pick the custodian or you pick the advisor that you want to work with. And you can find someone who works a little bit better with you, maybe, than just who you're given.
I love the idea of being able to have a face-to-face conversation. Some folks like to walk into the bank to have their transactions done. The same thing could be said of some IRA owners. I just want to talk to someone, you know, face-to-face instead mm-hmm. of on the phone, because I always don't get, you know, the in-between things that I might normally get.
Right. So another reason you may want to roll over funds to an IRA, maybe you want to do a QCD. If you're over 70 and a half, you can do a qualified charitable distribution where you take money from the retirement funds and you give it directly to charity, thereby avoiding any income tax that might be associated with that distribution.
Which can be called gifting, again, given our previous conversation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But QCDs are not allowed from employer plans. So that would be one reason that you may want to move your funds to an IRA. Also, when you're doing planning, beneficiaries, who you want to give money to. When you have money in a plan, you get your beneficiary for that. But if you have an IRA, you can split it into multiple accounts. And you could say, well, this amount is going to go to this entity. This is going to my trust. This is going to a charity. This IRA is going to my children. It gives you a little bit more flexibility and ability to plan and create that estate plan that's going to fit for you.
Now, you can't give an IRA to your dog, okay? I know that some would say the dog deserves some.
Ron looks disappointed.
It can only be to an individual person.
I'm going to have to update my beneficiary forms. I guess.
That's why you may need a trust. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you don't trust anyone other than your dog, that's when to name a trust. There you go.
Now, many of you know this. When you are in a company plan, you're given a list. Here's the mutual funds you get to choose from, and that's what you're limited to as to what you can invest your money in. With an IRA, the horizon expands dramatically. There are so many different things that you can invest in with an IRA, actual stock, bonds, ETFs, mutual funds, annuities. There's a full range of products that you can invest in with an IRA. And you wouldn't have that restriction of what the plan is just offering you.
Now, for sure, some 401k plans are very competitive in their investment options. Some of them offer brokerage-type options within the 401k that open up your choices tremendously as a part of this. So that's part of the conversation. What are my options here? Is there a reason other than just the fact that, I'm accustomed to being in the 401k? Some like their 401ks very much as the other side of this conversation. Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead, Heidi.
All right. Another pro for the IRA is more flexible withholding options. When you're in an employer plan, they must withhold 20% of a distribution and withhold that for taxes. So that is standard and customary in those employer plans. But with an IRA, you get to decide. You can say, hey, I don't want any tax withheld. Or you may say, I want half of it withheld for taxes because I know I have a big tax bill coming. So you have that flexibility based on the amount you're taking out and also what your situation is, whether you know you have a big credit or you don't have a big credit. And so you can change that withholding based on your circumstance. Mm-hmm. Then also with RMDs, it's another reason you may want to move money to an IRA. When you are in an employer plan and you have money in an IRA, you have to take money when you have those required minimum distributions from each one separately. If you move money out of a 401k and all you have is IRAs, no matter how many different IRA accounts you have, you can aggregate that. You can take it from just one of the accounts, IRA accounts, or a multiple. But why that can become important is because you can pick and choose then which asset you're liquidating at any given time in the market in order to meet that required minimum distribution. So
go ahead, Heidi.
Okay. So moving right along to, all those are great reasons to move money from a plan into an IRA. But what are some reasons to keep your money in the employer plan in the first place? So one of the first reasons is the creditor protection. Say with an employer plan, the protections are at a federal level, protecting you from bankruptcy or creditors coming after that money if you're having financial difficulty. A lot of times I'll talk to clients and say, if you're in a high-risk profession that maybe doctors have malpractice suits come against them, they might want to keep their money in an employer plan while they're still practicing because they have a higher level of protection. Now, the IRA is protected, but it's protected by state law, so every state is different, and it doesn't have that federal level of protection.
Well, so the federal level by ERISA is unlimited, in essence, to the amount. So depending on what you've got in these kinds of plans, it can make a difference for some professionals to keep the money in their plan for those protections afforded through ERISA, Employee Retirement Income Security Act, for those who want to know. Hang on, Heidi. We've got a question here.
Let's go to the question.
Yeah. Well, here's somebody who says they're retired and they have a large mortgage. Want to know if they can take $100,000 out of their retirement funds to pay off the mortgage without paying regular income tax on that $100,000 that they take out of their fund.
Could they ever avoid that tax, Heidi? What would you say to that?
Well, if it was from the Roth.
Yeah.
It was a Roth IRA or a Roth plan money. Yeah. You may be able to do that, but... Yeah.
It's not exchangeable for a mortgage, if that's the question. Could I just exchange that money? No. That money is, if it's in a regular IRA or 401k account, that money is fully taxable when it comes out in the year in which you draw it.
But if you had a Roth, there's no tax on that, right? A Roth
Correct.
IRA.
You've already paid the tax. So with certain limitations, of course.
Can you take that much out, $100,000?
Sure.
If you've got that much in there.
Yeah. Same person, different kind of a question, though. How about this? Could I gift $15,000 to my grandchild, and then they could pay $15,000 on my mortgage? I think the same thing as a way to avoid tax, maybe. But if you take $15,000 out of your retirement,
could I gift $15,000 to my grandchild? Depends on where the gift comes from, and depends, you know, if the grandchild decides that they want. A gift has to be a free and non-required transfer.
Free and clear.
Free and clear. So,
or it's not a gift.
Yeah. So, you know, you can't guarantee that your grandchild's going to give you the money back in that instance. I don't know that they want to do that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's partially tongue-in-cheek. In terms of gifting it to them, they pay the tax at their rate given that they sell an appreciated stock. Let's say that's what you're gifting to them. I don't know what the gift is. If it's cash, I mean, why don't you just pay it yourself? You're not going to make any change in your financial situation by gifting to the child and gifting it back to you. If you're gifting them appreciated stock or mutual fund, they avoid the tax on it. They may pay some tax. They may have the filing requirements because they do have income that year where they didn't have it before, those kinds of things. You want to think about that more deeply, perhaps, with your tax consultant.
Right. And I'd say with gifting, there's all these rules, and Dennis went over a lot of the parameters. But sometimes people make it a little more complicated than it needs to be, like, you know, just paying the bill yourself or doing something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's a good idea to talk to somebody about it if you're going to make a gift, and make sure it's for the right reasons and it's the right asset that you're gifting.
Yeah, you don't want to get into the step transaction rules with the IRS where they're simply looking at a transaction and saying, well, here's what you really intended to do 4 steps later, which is what you did. Here's the amount of tax you owe given that transaction. You know
that
what I'm saying?
That could trip you up.
That's right. So, Heidi, reasons not to roll money into an IRA. Let's continue with that.
That money in the company plan. So it's hard to follow up after the beautiful sunset on the water. But maybe your plan, some employer plans have life insurance available to the participants of the 401k plan or other employer plan. Maybe you can't get insurance on your own. You can't qualify for life insurance. So this would be a compelling reason to keep the money in the plan so that you can keep that coverage in place. Another reason to keep money in the plan, so maybe you're still working. Maybe you're past that required minimum distribution age of 73 this year. So you're still working. You still enjoy what you're doing, and you're still contributing to your plan. If you keep your money in the plan and you don't roll it over to an IRA, you do not have to take a required minimum distribution. It's the still working exception. Now, this is not true for owners. If you own the business, you will have to take RMDs. But for just regular employees who are non-owners, they can do that. Another reason to keep that money in the plan. So that can be a compelling one if you're RMD age. Now, if another reason you may keep money in the plan is maybe you retire early or you quit your job and you may be getting close to retirement but not quite there. So if you are over 55 and you leave your employer but you're not quite 59 and a half is important because that's the age where you can take money out of retirement accounts without paying a 10% penalty. Mm-hmm. But if you leave your employer and you're over 55, but you will not have to pay that 10% penalty.
Now, this is why you listen to this show. Seriously, because that is a great way to avoid that 10% penalty. So at 10 grand, you're avoiding $1,000 in penalties. If you've left the money in the plan and you could need the funds before you're 59 and a half, over 55, less than 59 and a half.
And if you're a public safety employee, it's age 50.
So public safety employees generally with the city and or governments of 5, you've got a...
Got law enforcement.
457 plans. That's the number. Thank you so much.
So that includes law enforcement, firefighters, custom, border patrol, air traffic controllers, and there's a long list of those. But.
Good to know.
So those are some reasons. There are complex conversations that go on with these decisions, so you should come in and talk to someone.
Absolutely. Ron, we have time for stats here. We got some great ones. Yes, we do. Deanne, the stats, please.
All right. The final 100 days of the 2024 presidential election kicked off on July 28th. Mm. Since World War II, the S&P 500's average performance in the 100 days leading up to the presidential election has been a gain of 1.8%, with gains 68% of the time, and that source is Bespoke. We were talking about this, Dennis, earlier.
Mm-hmm. Who would have thought?
Interesting.
Yeah, the stats, lots of concern, obviously, around this election. Mm-hmm. What's it going to do to the stock market? Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah. The S&P 500's 2.3% decline on July 24th, 2024 was the index's first one-day drop of more than 2% since February 21st, 2023. The just-ended 356 trading day streak without a 2% plus drop was the longest since the record 949 trading day streak ending in February 2007, and that source is Bespoke.
Now, that's obviously over a year. We recognize that's a year and a half, but in terms of trading days, there are five, obviously, trading days usually mm-hmm. each week. Mm-hmm. So that's where that trading days less than a year comes in.
And this stat is entitled The Bulls Scatter. A week after rising above 50% for just the second time all year, the percentage of individual investors saying they're bullish on the stock market saw its biggest one-week drop since February 2023, falling 9.5 percentage points down to 43.2%. And that source is American Association of Individual Investors.
So just when everybody's feeling really good.
The floor drops out. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're usually wrong, so that's actually a good contrarian indicator.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And I found this next stat interesting because you hear a lot about gold and silver, but this is talking about copper. Copper prices, often viewed as a leading indicator for the economic cycle, have had a volatile 6 months from February 9th, 2024 to May 21st, 2024. Copper prices rose 39%, but since their May peak, prices have fallen 20%, including an eight-day losing streak through July 24th, and that source is Bespoke.
A major infrastructure commodity, wiring, yeah. Still, okay?
Batteries,
all the rest, copper, yeah. You bet.
But you were saying before the show that you can even buy copper coins.
Yeah, that was interesting.
You can. I was surprised that the gold and silver dealer, Chris's Coins and Collectibles, have got a huge selection of copper in there. And, they apparently, people love to gift that sort of thing. So you can buy that in coinage.
Interesting.
It's electrically conductant, too. So be careful. You know, don't go putting that where it shouldn't belong. Could be shocking.
Do we have time for one more stat?
Go ahead, Deanne.
The spread between the yield on the 10-year and 2-year Treasury notes has been inverted, which means a 10-year yield lower than a 2-year yield, for a record 500-plus trading days. But on July 24, 2024, the spread hit its least inverted level since July 12, 2022, when the streak was just 6 days old, and that source is Bespoke.
All yeah. Right. Yield inversions often are indicative of an economic recession. Mm. So far, not so good in that terms mm-hmm. of an indicator. Well, Ron, we're done. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
That'll wrap it up. Dennis Prout, Heidi Cartwright, Deanne Jennings from Prout Financial Design for New Retirement Radio. Thank you all.
Thanks,
Ron. Thank you, Ron.
Dollar costs averaging involves continuous investment in securities, regardless of fluctuation in price levels of such securities. An investor should consider their ability to continue purchasing through fluctuating price levels. Such a plan does not assure a profit and does not protect against loss in declining markets. Traditional IRA account owners have considerations to make before performing a Roth IRA conversion. These primarily include income tax consequences on the converted amount in the year of conversion, withdrawal limitations from a Roth IRA, and income limitation for future contributions to a Roth IRA. In addition, if you are required to take a required minimum distribution, RMD, in the year you convert, you must do so before converting to a Roth IRA.